Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
The former Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management Director has retired. Let's go in depth with Joyce Flynn, originally from rural Warren County. Joyce, you've recently retired as Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management for the state of Iowa. What a big job.
It was indeed a big job, and it's taking me a while, but I'm finally not looking at my calendar every morning when I get up to see what I have to do today.
Well, and how did you get started in the emergency management business?
You know, I am a firm believer that there's a plan for our lives. And when I was going through a divorce, the job actually fell out of the sky into my lap. So I was a firm believer it was where I was supposed to be. I had been working for an accounting firm in Indianola, and someone came in there and said they were looking for someone at the state to do grant management work. And my name was given as someone who was looking for a job. A person from the state called me. I went for an interview and was hired. And that was 23 and a half years ago.
And so then you just moved up because of your administrative skills?
You know, I took every opportunity to learn along the way, and I did move up. And then when a job came open that I was interested in, as I mentioned, I actually started on the grants management side, so it was a financial accounting position. But the first time there was an activation of the State Emergency Operations Center, I really loved the intensity and the important work that went on there. So when a job came open within that bureau, I applied for that job and got into the response side of the business. And then from there, just took every opportunity to, again, learn and move up as job openings were available.
And how long did it take for you to get up to speed on the emergency side of things?
You know, I started in 97. I was a contractor for the first year. And our first response that I was engaged in was 98-99. So in 2000 is when I actually traveled or moved to the response side. So maybe 2 or 3 years, and I was still learning until the day I walked out the door, because it is a big job, it's a big business. And it was just emergency management when I started, but after September 11th, of course, then we were given by the legislature the mission of also handling Homeland Security. So then it was learning that side of the business as well after September 11th.
Well, what was the feeling like at that time in your field? It had to be incredible responsibility.
You know, that was the emergency management side is always hard, because you see impacts to Iowans' lives when a disaster occurs, whether it's a flood or a tornado. You know, I went in the field many times, either doing damage assessments or touring with the governor, and you could never become hardened to it, because if you became hardened to people suffering, then you were in the wrong business. But there were times I cried right along with someone whose home had been destroyed, and just devastating, and makes you realize how thankful you should be. And the Homeland Security side was hard, because in Iowa, you don't think you have a lot of terrorism threats, things like that. But as we've seen over time, that may be civil unrest. It may be any myriad of things where you don't always see those coming or have warning like you do with some kind of a weather event. So very hard to try and work with folks to get the intelligence analysis to let you know if there's anything you need to prepare for.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Joyce Flynn, former Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management Director. Well, when you were director, what did you see as the biggest threat?
The biggest threat that was usually talked about in the Homeland Security side was cyber, because there are so many threats to us personally from, you know, your bank account being hacked or whatever it might be. So cybersecurity was the main concern of pretty much the nation with Homeland Security in the recent years. But see, hackers get better every day, and we always have to be one step ahead.
Well, the FBI has concluded that the greatest threat to us essentially is right-wing extremists. Was this the same thing in Iowa?
You know, it was not as prevalent in Iowa. It is, of course, a concern. But you look at larger cities where there's more activity of that type, of course, that's going to be a bigger concern. But we were fortunate in Iowa that that was not as prevalent. It's always on the radar, as is every threat, but it was not as prevalent as some of the other concerns like cybersecurity.
When you would respond to the scene of a flood or a tornado, say, did you ever feel like your resources were limited, or did you feel that Iowa has the resources that we need to get into play during a disaster?
I think Iowa has done a great job of utilizing federal grant funds they received to build capabilities for a statewide response, whether that's the fleet of pumps and sandbags and generators that the state has on hand, or whether it's knowing how to access those resources from the federal government that we did not have. But Iowa has a great capability for responding and making sure the right resources are getting to the right place at the right time. A lot of very talented people work for Homeland Security Emergency Management.
Well, a little over a year ago, we had our first COVID-19 case in Iowa, and we were concerned about it for a month or two before then. Tell us your feelings as you learned this growing threat by COVID-19, last January, February.
Yeah, this was an extremely hard disaster for me personally, because where I'm used to getting sandbags to where they're needed or making sure pumps are where they're needed and working with our partners at the local, state, and federal level, this was a little bit different, where it was more driven from the federal government level, which I totally understand, and it was an unknown, where we can always count on resources from the federal government, from other states through the Nationwide Mutual Aid Compact, EMAC, Emergency Management Assistance Compact. This time, because of the way the virus was spreading and concerns on people getting sick, canceled travel for state employees, you knew that what you had within your state was pretty much what you had to depend on for the near term, until we had plans, we shifted, we punted, and we moved forward. And I believe Iowa did a great job responding and is continuing to do that. But with any disaster, it takes a while with a new thing to figure out what you're going and the best resources to throw into the battle. I will say that was hard. I would have never thought in my career that we would see a nationwide pandemic of this magnitude. We know we do a lot of vaccine, we take care and ensure that people are vaccinated against the normal threats, but this was almost an unimaginable event to respond to.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Joyce Flynn, former Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management Director. Now, amongst my friends, some of them just think that this was nothing and go about their business as normal, or if not nothing, they think it's overblown. And other friends are scared to come out of their houses. Now, when I see you and all of the other people in emergency management and the governor and the governor's office, I sort of see you sitting around a table and you have to figure out what to do, what is the right thing to do. Was there that kind of disagreements that we find in general public amongst me and my close friends? We can afford it. We you know, we have no responsibility, essentially. But when you sat around that big table, which I presume that you did at first, at least, that's a lot of responsibility. And did you come together, or were all of those dissenting voices there?
I think I wouldn't say dissenting voices. We did, in fact, do that. And when the governor activated the State Emergency Operations Center in early March of last year because of COVID response, she and her team were there 24/7 like the rest of us. That first month or so was 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hour days. It was brutal. And while it's not dissenting opinions, the governor is very open to hearing people's opinions, but ultimately she has to make the decision based on the science, based on guidance from people in the healthcare profession, based on guidance from me and my team on what we were able to do. So it's not dissenting opinions, it's just opinions and feedback, and then the governor ultimately has to decide the direction that we'll go, and we make that work for her to the best of our ability.
So she was the decider.
We would present courses of action, and it's up to her which action to choose. And that's on the big things. On the little things, you know, once we had established test Iowa sites and things like that, my team worked the logistics to make that happen. We worked with National Guard, public safety, public health to ensure the right people were at those places so that the testing was getting done. So it's the big picture stuff. The governor decides the tactical or strategic implementation of that is up to the state agencies who are tasked with specific actions by Iowa code.
Well, now you say that, you know, follow the science and all of that, and I understand that. But there's some economic science that one has to consider as well with respect to, oh, shutting down. I mean, doing what the medical people say is one thing, but if we destroy the economy, that's another thing. And that's a tension where you're never really going to know if you're doing the right thing. Am I correct?
Absolutely correct. And that is a place where, again, the governor's getting input. You know, everybody wanted to give the governor input from within state government, outside of state government, general citizens, because there was an economic impact to a business. And the governor never took that lightly, that what she was doing was impacting someone's potential livelihood. Even having children in school or not in school, that's an impact because there are children who depend on school for food, for potentially getting out of a scary situation at home. So every action she took, she was always very cognizant that it was impacting someone's livelihood in some way, shape, or form. So tough decisions, but I think you have to get the science, you have to weigh all those other factors and then move forward as she did.
It sounds like you think that the governor did a good job.
I think someone asked me one time if I ever would want to be the governor. My kids, you know, as I went through my career, they said, Mom, you don't want to be governor, do you? It's like, no, I do not want that job. That is a very, very tough job, and she did do a good job. I think it's hard, and you could see it weighing on the governor because, again, every decision she's making has the potential to negatively impact someone, and that she does not take lightly at all. I think she's done a really good job.
Well, and with everybody in the state second-guessing you.
Absolutely. Everybody has an opinion, and with social media, they have a platform for expressing those opinions, whether perhaps they should or not.
Well, it seems like in retrospect that maybe the schools are the last thing we should have closed. Is that, I mean, we didn't know that at the beginning, but is that the case? If we were to come up with something like this again, would we probably not? Maybe we'd close the bars before we close the schools.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to second guess on that because I saw things from my perspective and the information I was receiving, where the governor, I'm sure, was getting much more feedback from the Education Association, from individual teachers, from superintendents, principals. She has much more information to make those decisions. And again, I don't think she made any of those lightly, but I don't know. I pray we never have this again, but I don't know what we may want to do differently at this point. I'm sure there will be a lot of discussions on what we would do different next time.
Well, during this time, what was your worst day?
I think probably the worst day was when we had community spread in Iowa. Dr. Padotti kept saying, we know it'll happen, we know it'll happen. We were trying to prepare, do everything we could. But then when that community spread was identified, and then things got very bad very quickly in both Iowa and across the country, it was just, it was kind of like that September 11th feeling of the world will never be the same again.
And what was your best day?
Best day was when we would get something in place that we've been working on a long time. For example, the test Iowa sites so that we could make sure people were getting tested. That was a good day because there was a lot of logistics behind that, and that was a good day. And, you know, good day when vaccines are starting to go in people's arms. So the little wins and the positives where we know we're making progress and moving forward.
Well, after all that responsibility for so long, what are you doing now?
You know, I'm doing nothing mostly. And I was talking with my son and daughter both about this because their families have been very supportive. And it's been hard for me to do nothing because I have had 23 and a half years of being on call 24/7 for whatever disaster or emergency might occur. So my phone not going off continually, either with email or text messages or phone calls. My calendar's empty. You know, I have consciously tried to read books. You know, I haven't read a book in forever. So I've been reading and taking it easy and taking walks with my dog and spending more time with my family and realizing I don't have to do anything. You know, I can do whatever I want to. I don't have to do anything. So it's different, but it's good. It's good. And it was a great career. I absolutely loved it. It was super stressful. It was super hard, but I absolutely loved supporting Iowans in that manner, and I was honored to be the director. So I'm glad for every opportunity I was given.
Thanks to Joyce Flynn for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe. An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.